Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. This is the second day of the winter retreat, and we are continuing with Zazen rules or rules for meditation. And as I said last time, Dogen is placing the emphasis on the necessity of training, and that the authentication of one's experience is to be expressed in one's training. He emphasizes this by talking about the example of Shakyamuni Buddha, who, as he said, had great wisdom at birth, and sat in training for 6 years. And the example of Bodhidharma, who sat facing a wall for 9 years. This is to emphasize that no matter how far a person has gone in training, they still need practice. He says the ancestors were very diligent, meaning Shakyamuni and Bodhidharma. And there is no reason why we people of the present day cannot understand. This is a very important sentence. There is no reason why we people of the present day cannot understand. There is no reason why we people of the present day cannot understand. One of the things that gets in the way of people of the present day understanding is the tendency to make training something exotic and to make meditation some sort of Japanese cultural practice. So much so that, as I've said before, there are some Christian monasteries, for example, who have taken up the practice of Zazen. But the way they do it is to set up a full Japanese-style zendo down to the brocade cushions within their monasteries. Because they're under the impression that the Japanese cultural practices are essential to the practice itself, to the efficiency of the practice. But of course, this is not so at all. Then Dogen gives his first instructions in meditation in this work, Rules for Meditation. It says, all you have to do is cease from erudition. Now, erudition means the concentrating on the mind as opposed to the body, and the trying to gain knowledge by filling the mind with information. So Dogen says, all you have to do is cease from this, withdraw within, and reflect upon yourself. So, to cease from chasing after things in your mind, let go and reflect upon yourself. This means that all that we need for training and enlightenment is what we bring with us, our koans, ourselves to work upon. Should you be able to cast off body and mind naturally, the Buddha mind will immediately manifest itself. This casting off of body and mind, what does it mean? There is nothing in us that is not either body or mind, or a combination of those things. So what does it mean to cast off body and mind? It means to let go of self-obsession, to let go of self-referential behavior, and to let everything fall away. Dogen is basically reassuring everybody, just practice, body and mind will fall off, and the Buddha mind will immediately manifest itself. By immediately manifest itself, he does not mean within several minutes or within a split second. He means that the Buddha mind is there all the time. We cannot see it or experience it because of our self-referential way of looking at things. But this, the dropping off of body and mind, is what it's all about. If you want to find it quickly, you must start at once. Again, this is Dogen pointing out that you do not need to wait until you have all your ducks in a row. You do not need to wait until you have your life organized. You do not need to wait until you have been through therapy. You must start at once. Then Dogen continues with the basic instructions in meditation. He said you should meditate in a quiet room. Okay. This means not to deliberately seek out dangerous places to meditate. Although it also means not shirking from meditating under whatever circumstances. Neither seeking difficulties nor shirking difficulties. For example, Tendo tells Dogen that when you're starting out meditation practice in the beginning, do not sit in the middle of thunder and lightning storms. Now, if at a later date you find yourself in the middle of thunder and lightning storms, it's a different matter. But it is vitally important to remember that one is a human being in this practice. And that means that one must not imagine there will be no difficulties. Neither one must one think of oneself as a superhuman being. This is particularly prevalent in Japanese culture and also in the forms of Zen that came out of Japanese culture. Particularly related to, as is the Rinzai tradition generally, to the practice of warriors. Our tradition is the practice of farmers. rather than aristocrats, of ordinary people living ordinary lives, and not people trying to be extraordinary. This way of looking at training is what is transmitted down the ancestral line. What is transmitted down the ancestral line should pay no heed to the various customs that exist in the various cultures as you go along. Should come back to the essentials of practice. And not, as the Zen master said, not become distracted by interesting side paths. Eat and drink moderately. That means you can get indigestion if you sit too soon after a heavy meal. Now, the next part is quite essential and frequently misunderstood. Cut all ties. Give up everything. This means, in this context of Zazen rules, that when you sit down to meditate, drop everything else. It doesn't mean that you have to make this great leap before you practice. Cut all ties. Let go of everything. Put everything aside in order to sit. Give up everything. Don't have anything that you have to deal with while you're sitting. Any external thing that you have to deal with so you can concentrate on sitting. Think of neither good nor evil, consider neither right nor wrong. Okay? It means don't go back and forth about your sitting or how it should be or how it isn't. Do not worry about such things. Concentrate on the sitting. Think of neither good nor evil, consider neither right nor wrong. This is not talking about some exotic transcendence of good and evil or right or wrong. It just means don't bring judgments into the meditation. Now, the next sentence is important, but easy to misunderstand. Control mind, function, will, consciousness, memory, perception, and understanding. Reverend Master Jiu taught that what this means is that when the mind rushes off down memory lane, when it thinks that it's got it, understood, when the mind function starts running along, bring yourself back to the sitting. All these are indications of imbalance in the sitting. Then it says, you must not strive thus to become Buddha. The thus in this sentence is not a reference to controlling mind, will, consciousness, memory, perception, understanding. It's a reference to the whole business of meditation. How can you strive to become Buddha when you do not even know what Buddha is? Dogen also says in another version of Zazen rules, is that meditation without focusing on, quote unquote, what I am thinking. When it says, cling to neither sitting nor lying down, it again is a reference to not worrying about extraneous things. Of course, when sitting, it is good to have the upright posture and the things that Dogen is about to describe. But people have also meditated lying down. We hear a lot about, in the Zen tradition, about people dying sitting up. But Shakyamuni Buddha died lying down, so there's nothing magical about it. As Reverend Master Jiyu said, these instructions are like a blueprint. Okay, they are not an absolute. When meditating, do not wear tight clothing. The full instructions actually say, arrange your robes around you in a loose fashion, not too tight around you, but so that you can sit comfortably. Then it says, the left hand in the palm of the right hand with the thumbs touching lightly. Okay? That is simply the usual way of doing it. There's, again, nothing magical in it. It is the way Shakyamuni Buddha sat. If one looks at the oldest statues of Shakyamuni, that's what you see him doing, putting his hands in that way. With the thumbs touching lightly. Everybody who is listening to me is probably familiar with the instructions or will have received the instructions, so that's relatively straightforward. Sit upright. Ideally, don't lean on anything. Now, sometimes when people are old, they have to lean on support the back. But generally speaking, they should still try as much as possible to sit upright without props. Don't lean either left or right, backwards or forwards. That's pretty straightforward. Ears in line with the shoulders, nose in line with the navel. That's just giving you a general thing of sitting. And it's important to realize the context of this. There existed in Dogen's day and in our own all sorts of ideas about meditation. And people would twist their bodies into all sorts of shapes. But Dogen is saying, you are not doing anything special. Now, the tongue must be held lightly against the back of the top teeth with the lips and teeth closed. The reason for putting it this way is to re-emphasize that you are not doing something special. People may find this hard to believe, but you can look it up. One of the criticisms in India that is offered of Buddhist meditation is that they do not do an essential thing that is essential within the practice of Kundalini. The bending of the tongue backwards in the mouth until it blocks the nasal passages. And in order to facilitate this, the, believe it or not, severing slowly the under thing underneath the tongue that holds the tongue. You sever it very slowly until the tongue becomes completely flexible. It's called kachari, and you bend it backwards to block the nasal passages. Now, that may seem completely mad, but that is the what you're supposed to do in meditation within the Hindu tradition. And as I say, I've seen various Hindu great teachers criticize Buddhism on the grounds that it does not do this with the tongue. So Dogen is re-emphasizing that this is not a practice that requires you to harm the body and mind. It is a practice that anybody can do. Keep the eyes open. That is what the Buddha statues do. That is the oldest way of sitting, is to keep the eyes open so that you do not go off into a trance. Trances are not the purpose of Buddhist meditation. Cutting oneself off from reality or from the world is not the purpose of Buddhist meditation. By keeping the eyes open, you develop the ability to sit, to be still, no matter what is going on around you. And you do not require having to close the eyes in order to do this, if you sit with the eyes open. And as everybody knows, that means the eyes open but lowered. Breathe in, settle the body, breathe out. Sway the body left and right, then sit steadily. Okay. Now, not everybody sways the body left and right when they sit down, particularly if they're used to sitting. It isn't magical. So that covers Dogen's references to how you practice with the body and I will leave it there before we go on to his reference about the mind, which is extremely important. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds, homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds, homage to the scripture of great wisdom.